This morning, you and I will need the power of the name of Jesus to apply the message that we hear from James this morning to our hearts and lives. Let me just say up front, it'll be a hard message to apply. Okay, so posture yourselves for a challenge that comes from God's Word. It comes from James chapter 3, and if you're using a Bible provided near your seats, you could find that on page 1107, page 1107, James chapter 3. We're continuing our way through the book of James. We're thinking about the theme of change, and today we're thinking especially about God's challenge to change our words, to change our words. I brought with me a picture this morning that you probably have something similar in your home. This happens to be a printout of an x-ray of my son's hand when he broke his finger. And you probably have similar pictures of x-rays, or maybe you have a picture of a baby, you know, before they're born from an ultrasound. You have something in your home that is from your physician that reveals to you what was going on the inside that you couldn't see from the outside. In fact, this morning, just raise your hand as I name off a few things and keep your hand raised to see how these categories work. How many of you have ever had an x-ray? Okay, keep your hands up. How many of you have ever had a CAT scan or an MRI? Keep your hands, just everybody keep their hands up. We're just adding to the list here. How many of you have ever had heart catheterization, an ultrasound, an echocardiogram? Okay, look around. That's a lot of people, right? That some, you can go ahead and put your hands down, where a medical procedure has allowed physicians to look under the skin of your body without invading it to help them see what's going on. In our family, you know, we have pictures of broken bones. We have echocardiograms of our daughter Anna before she was born, when the doctors were identifying some trouble with her heart. We have those kinds of experiences. Well, today, when we look at God's Word, James is going to tell us that the words that come out of our mouth are like a spiritual x-ray or MRI that reveal to us what's going on in our heart. Okay, so you ready for that? That's where we're headed. The words that come out of our mouths are like a spiritual x-ray or MRI or ultrasound that reveal to us what's going on in our hearts. Last time we were together, we looked at this picture of an iceberg. And the iceberg reminds us that most of who we are is below the surface. I mean, our friends and family, they experience our lives above the waterline, but who we are in terms of convictions and beliefs are below the surface. And so today, we're thinking about something below the surface, and we're asking God to reveal to us some of those things, and we're going to ask Him to change some of those things. We're going to pray for that change this morning. So that's where we're headed. It all starts in James chapter 3. Hear these words of God as James writes them in the third chapter, beginning at verse 1. James writes, "Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers and sisters, because you know that we who teach will be judged more strictly. We all stumble in many ways. Those who are never at fault in what they say are perfect, able to keep their whole body in check." And listen to all these visuals that James gives us to try to understand what it means, how the tongue functions in the body. He tries to spell it out in as many different ways as possible. He says, "When we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn the whole animal. Or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boasts. Consider what a great forest is set on fire by a small spark. The tongue is also a fire, a world of evil among the parts of the body. It corrupts the whole person, sets the whole course of one's life on fire, and is itself set on fire by hell." James is trying to grab your attention here. "All kinds of animals, birds, reptiles, and sea creatures are being tamed and have been tamed by human beings, but no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison." And the word there is like snake venom. It says, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can a salt spring produce fresh water. May God bless his word to us this morning. Last time we were together, we thought about this passage in chapter 3, looking at the beginning and the end, and the heart of it's right in the middle. And the heart of it are those words from James that say that out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. That's the heart of the matter that we consider this morning. You and I, we say a lot of words in a day. Most studies say that men say about 20,000 words in a day, women on average about 30,000 words a day. If you took all the words that you said in a year and you put them in a book, you'd end up with 66 books that were 800 pages long. Every year, that's how much you talk. In fact, some estimate that 20% of your life will be spent talking. That's a lot of words, right? A lot of words. Well, this morning, we're asking God to change our words. And we're wondering, how can that happen? It's going to have to happen below the surface, all right? Below the waterline, underneath our skin. Changing our words happens not by trying to change our words, but by God changing our heart. James, you remember the author of this book, is most likely the brother of Jesus. And again, we see things that James says that are similar to what Jesus says. And we're like, well, that makes sense. You know, James is the brother of Jesus, that they would sound alike sometimes. Look at these words of Jesus on the next slide from the Gospel of Luke, where Jesus says, good people bring good things out of our hearts, out of the good stored up in their heart, and evil people bring evil things out of the evil stored up in their heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, doesn't that sound a lot like all those illustrations that James was just giving us about a well and about a ship and a rudder, you know, all the things, the spring and the fruit trees? Jesus just points it out clearly here in the Sermon on the Mount. For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so this morning, we want to return for a moment back to Psalm 139 that Jenny happened to read this morning, that begins this way, search me, God, and know my heart. Search me, God, and know my heart. God wants to give you and me a spiritual MRI to see what's underneath the surface, to see what's in our heart. And he says one of the ways that you and I can step into that examination room is simply through the prayer that says, search me, God, and know my heart. Search me and know my heart. When somebody has a heart catheterization, they want to make sure that nothing's wrong with the heart. James suggests to us today that when there is duplicity in our words, when blessings and cursings come out of the same mouth, when you and I come to church and we sing praises to God on Sunday, and by Sunday afternoon we're either gossiping or complaining or grumbling, he says, this should not be. Something's wrong. It's a symptom. It's a symptom of something that's wrong with our heart. And you and I both know that when it comes to speaking 20,000 words a day or 30,000 words a day, that we tend to blow it often. And so out of the same mouth comes blessing and comes cursing, or comes blessing and things that tear down instead of build up. Now, before we move ahead, I just want to call you into check that you don't minimize James' message here. Because when it comes to our words, I think because we speak them so often, we tend to minimize when they go awry. In fact, I talked to somebody the other day, and he said to me, well, yeah, in that meeting, he said, I got a little bit angry, and I shouldn't have. I found out later that his description as I got a little bit angry and I shouldn't have was really a monumental blow-up and a regurgitation of words that should have never been said. We tend to minimize. And so stand firm against the tendency to minimize and stand tall, ready for God to change a heart below the surface that could change the words that we say, so that us habitually blowing it won't continue to happen. So that your words and my words will reveal something different to us and to the world around us. Usually we get the best picture of what's going on inside of us by listening to the words of our mouth when we listen to the words that we say when we're under pressure, when we're in a crisis. Because under pressure and in a crisis, we tend to just let out the things that are truly inside of us. My friend owns a funeral home, and he says when people come to make plans for a funeral, they are under pressure. You know, they're under grief, they're under sorrow, they're under a radical change in circumstances sometimes. They're under pressure. And he says in his experience, what he discovers is whatever exists in that family is magnified when they meet with him. And so he meets with a family, and the family's full of love, and they're full of faith. And they come to him, and they're under pressure. You know what happens? It's like putting a big magnifying glass on their love and faith, and it just fills the whole room. It's like, wow, what an experience. But he says, when you're planning a funeral with him and the family is full of tension, stress, bitterness, frustration, you put a big magnifying glass on that and boom, the whole room is filled with that. When we're under pressure, that is perhaps the best time to pay attention to the words we're saying, and they will give us the clearest picture of what's going on in our hearts. James says that you will be able to understand your heart better if you listen to your own words. And so today, we're going to take on the challenge of listening to our own words. And so turn your attention with me to the screen or to the back of your bulletin, and we're going to get a little help from Chip Ingram, a pastor and teacher, who put together a list of kinds of words that reflect a kind of heart. You know, here's a symptom, and here's what it indicates. There's really no rocket science behind that. It's just a common sense approach that you could put your own examples to. But I think it helps us. It helps us that when God gives us space to listen to what's coming out of our mouth, what it might be revealing about our hearts. And so if you're hearing harsh words coming out of your mouth, it could be a very good indicator that your heart is angry. If you're hearing negative words come out of your mouth, it could be a very good indicator that you're fearful, because usually when we're negative, 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 it's being born out of some kind of fear about the circumstances that we're in. If you hear just too many words coming out of your mouth, I mean, if you're a guy and you have 20,000 and you're up in the 50,000 range, or if you're a gal, you know, instead of 30, you're at 60, like, there's just too many words. What does that reveal? It could reveal an unsettled heart that is never content with quiet. Things get quiet and we just fill up the space. Is it because we're unsettled? Critical words come from a bitter heart usually. And if you were talking to Mary Jane about the steps of freedom, or if you were remembering where we were in February and March, you'd remember that step 3 is sometimes the longest step of the 7 steps that people take. Not always, but most of the time, step 3 is one of the longest steps. Step 6 is one of the longest steps. It's because step 3 is all about forgiveness. And when forgiveness is withheld, it tends to turn into bitterness. And when bitterness sinks down its roots into our hearts, we tend to have critical words for everybody and everything around us. And so step 3 is a way, in terms of freedom ministry, to throw off some sins that easily entangle us, like unforgiveness, and be set free from bitterness, and so that our critical words become way, way less. Critical words usually indicate a bitter heart. Filthy words, you know, just, you know, sidewalk level cursing or sexual innuendos in every joke. What does that reveal about a person? What does that reveal about you or me? It reveals an impure heart. Or prideful words, boastful words, usually reveal an insecure heart. If someone has to prove to you their value by telling you all the things that they have done, it's probably because they don't feel very secure in being a child of God and what he's declared about them as being his very own. Now let's put it on the table so that we can just be honest about it. Probably everyone in this room is insecure. We just express it differently, right? But boastful words or prideful words are usually an indicator, at least for us, for ourselves, to say, what kind of insecurity is going on inside of me that I have to tell everybody about how great I am? So these are the kinds of things, and you could add to the list as many as you like. These are the kinds of things that indicate from the outside what's going on the inside. Now, not all those indicators are bad. Look at the list in your bulletin or on the screen now. Encouraging words indicate a happy heart that wants to encourage somebody else and build them up. Gentle words indicate a tender heart. I mean, no one speaks gentle words without some tenderness about them. Truthful words, an honest heart. Kind words, a loving heart. You add to the list. But our words tend to reveal what's going on inside of us. And so here's the big question. What do your words reveal about your heart? What do your words reveal about your heart? That's the big question to wrestle with. You might not have to wrestle very long. The wrestling might be done. You might have already figured it out. At least you know that a change is needed. A change is desired. A change is longed for. How does that change happen? Well, here's a possible path, and you might even be able to take some steps on it this morning. Take a look at this next slide. I believe that in order to change your speech, you're going to have to renew your mind. I mean, Paul says that when he writes to the Romans, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. To change what you're going to say, you're going to have to change what you think and believe. And in order to renew your mind, or when your mind is renewed by God's truth, then your heart begins to change, and when your heart begins to change, your speech begins to change. So to change your speech, you have to renew your mind. God is in the business of renewing your mind, transforming you by the renewing of your mind. That is giving you truth to believe to replace the lies that you've held on to. Giving you truth to believe to replace the deceptions of the evil one. Giving you truth to believe to do away with those places where the evil one has already deceived you. You change your speech when you renew your mind. When you renew your mind, your heart begins to change. And when your heart changes, you know, this is below the surface stuff. When your heart changes, this is not external, it's internal. Then what's external changes too. Your speech changes. And so this morning, we're just simply going to remind ourselves that God is in the business of changing hearts. And we're going to pray for him to change our hearts. You see, following Jesus isn't complicated. It's just sometimes really hard because we're tangled up in stuff. We sometimes like the words that we say and the way that we say them because of the way it makes us feel in the moment. And so this morning, I want to have you remember who God is, the kind of work he likes to do, and pray for him to do that work and let it begin right now. Here's the reminder of who God is and the kind of work he likes to do. It comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where Paul writes, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. God is an expert at transforming, renewing, and creating new things in the hearts and lives of people. And so today might be a day where you're going to have to ask God, renew in me a heart full of love like I had once before. And now it's been covered up with stuff. Renew in me a spirit of kindness that I had once before, and for some reason I have lost it. Or at least it's not being practiced in my life today. For someone else, you might just be praying to God, give me a new heart. And that's God's transforming work. When you're outside of his family and you come into his family, like through baptism for Christian, he comes into a family of believing people. But if you're an adult or you're a child and you've never given your heart to Jesus, you just want to ask him for a new heart. You know, replace my heart of stone, give me a heart of flesh. Replace my heart that beats for the things of this world, which often are tainted by, you know, anger, hatred, revenge. And give me a new heart that's full of things like the fruit of your spirit, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness. God is in the business of taking what was old and making it into something new. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. And so here's the application point on the next slide for you and for me. It's time to pray. Say, well, where do I begin? I mean, how do I start? Well, God has a help for that too. And so I want to invite you to pray this prayer from Psalm 51. I'd like to read it for you, but I'd like you to put yourself in a frame of mind, posture of your heart, position of your body, to let the words of David the psalmist be your prayer as well. Can you imagine where David was with his words when he was hiding the sin of his life with Bathsheba and with Uriah? Where David was and what was coming out of his mouth, and how God worked a transformation in him to change what he was saying so that he would say this. And so, as God leads you, place your hands, your head, your heart, your soul, your spirit in a place where you can simply make this your prayer. Heavenly Father, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And one more prayer I want to encourage you to pray. You might want to pray it every day this week. The prayer also comes from the psalmist, and it's a prayer for protection. Psalm 141, verse 3. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord, and keep watch over the door of my lips. James gives us the ability to see what God already sees, and that is the condition of our heart. If you and I, and this seems kind of strange, if you listen with your ears, you'll be able to see better what's inside of your heart. And if you long for change in your heart, God is an expert at change in your heart. God is a heavenly Father who longs for his children to have change in their heart. If your child needed heart surgery because the flow wasn't right, the beat wasn't right, the connections weren't right, a parent would do everything in their power to change that heart. How much more does your heavenly Father, who looks at his children, see a problem with the condition of his child's heart, long for a change in your heart as well? And he says, all you have to do is ask me. And the power of Jesus' name becomes the power of the great physician who's able to heal a broken heart, set a child free, and place us in a position where the change that God works in our heart ends up revealing to the world through our words the beauty and the majesty of his power. And so may the world around you this week be surprised and shocked that you went to God, you asked for him to change your heart, and suddenly the kinds of things you're saying or the things you're not saying are so evident that they shock the people around you. They surprise them. Where once your angry heart would speak out angry, vengeful words, and all of a sudden you're not, and they're looking at you thinking, huh. Or once where a critical spirit is replaced by something that could be encouragement, and they look at you and they're like, that's different. Wonder what's up with him. Wonder what's up with her. God is in the business of changing hearts, and he wants to continue to change yours and to change mine. He's the potter, we're the clay. May he shape and mold us more and more to the image of his son. Would you please pray with me? Father in heaven, we ask for your help today. Help to be changed and transformed by you. We ask you, O God, to change our hearts so that our words will be changed. We ask you, Heavenly Father, that where there is a heart of anger, that you will transform it to a heart of love. Where there's a heart of fear, Lord, that you would give us courage. Where things are unsettled, that you would bring peace. Where we are bitter, Lord, that you would move us to forgive. Where we are impure, that you would replace our impurities with your righteousness. Lord, where we are insecure, that you'd give us confidence. Confidence that we belong to you, heart and soul, body and spirit, all the days of our lives. That we belong to you, Lord Jesus, as our faithful Savior. Lord, we pray that you'd give us the confidence of who we are in you. That you give us the security, and Lord, that we might know most of all that when the world around us is against us, that you are the one who accepts us. And so we open our hearts to you today, O God. We pray that you would set a guard on our lips, that you would form in us your new work. And Lord, if we're here today and we're sitting here thinking, I really need a new heart. I don't need an adjustment. I don't need a partial replacement. I just need the whole thing. God, we open our hearts to you. We believe, Lord Jesus, that you're the Son of God, sent from heaven. We believe that you died on the cross for our sins. We ask you to be our Savior, to come into our hearts right now and give us new life, give us a new birth, make us a new creation. And so we lift up our hearts to you today, O God, and we pray that you'd meet us in this place with the power of Jesus' name and your amazing grace. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name alone. Amen.